they're good where they are. And so, you know, I don't want to knock her too much for that and give it, at least she used it on her kids. At least she used it to give that experience instead of just blowing it and her baby daddy going and not taking the kids. Right. Cause it could have been that.
Mama, watch these kids.
And then that, I know
we going to see Usher. You know what I mean? Like,
what up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, and I'm joined my co-host today, Rizzy and Buff. Fellas, what you got for me?
First off, the Marvels finally hit Disney Plus. So if you're like me and didn't go to the movies to see it, then go check it out. We watched it earlier today. It's actually not that bad. It's a lot of random storylines kind of thrown in there that they didn't really need, but I think that was just to flesh out and make it run for the time it needed to run. But ultimately, the art wasn't bad, and it wasn't a bad movie. The scenes were beautiful, at least. But yeah, it's, check it out. It's not a bad use of your time. That's about as glowing of a review as I can give for it.
If you have nothing better to do.
Right, right. If you have nothing better to do, go ahead and check it out. You know. Other than that, though, I don't know if you guys have ever watched the movie The 13 Ghosts. The old school movie. It was like a semi-horror type thing. But they are remaking that.
Were they
that.
On a spaceship?
No, 13 Ghosts was in, it was like a house that was supposed to be like, it opened a gateway to kind of the spirit world, and they needed 13 ghosts to make it work. And so the dude was an architect wanting to get his wife back, and so he built the house according to the specs or whatever, and he had to capture the 13 ghosts and all of that. Rod Diggle was in it, so a lot of people was kind of excited because she actually acted in it and wasn't bad in the movie. You don't remember it at all? No, but anyway,
I remember the name.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite like horror type movies. It's actually a really good movie if you want to go check it out. But they're remaking it into a show, so it'll be a series, and I think it'll be really, really good. So if you're into kind of horror, the occult, that type of thing, those types of movies or shows, check it out. I think it'll be really good. And the only other thing I got, man, Honda and GM are coming after Tesla and all the EV makers. They are combining forces and they're trying to create or invest in hydrogen powered engines. So, you know, there's no type of emissions or anything like that coming from it. But essentially, they don't like that Tesla and Elon Musk has like almost all the patents on EVs right now. So they're coming and they're trying to change the game and try to invest in hydrogen. So if you want to be on the cutting edge of things, go get you a hydrogen powered car, I guess. And that'll be the next best thing instead of a EV or, you know, electric vehicle. So that's all I got, man. Not a lot going on in my world. I've been head down at work. So, you know, hopefully I graced you guys with a little bit of knowledge.
Always, you always do, brother. You always do. I just got a couple of things. One, The Biggest Night in Pop, I believe it's called. It's streaming on Netflix. It's a documentary on how Michael Jackson and What's Easy Like Sunday Morning Ain't.
Damn it.
Come on. Easy Like Sunday Morning. What's my man's name?
I know who you're talking about. Oh, man. Hey, look, well, it's a Wednesday night, y'all. It's a Wednesday night. We tired.
Lionel Richie. Got it. Damn. Sorry, Lionel. So Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson were tapped to put together a benefit song, you know, We Are the World, to benefit kids in Ethiopia. And it's about how they got all those people, all those singers and celebrities to come together and sing that. It's very good. Not very good, but it's good. What's crazy though is Cindy Lauper, she was saying how she almost didn't do it because her boyfriend had told her that it's probably not going to be a hit song. And I'm trying to see, what boyfriend did she have back then in 1985, where, you know, Michael Jackson and Lionel at the height of their powers. Who was she dating that had the balls to tell her it might not be a hit song? What?
Anything Michael touched was a hit.
Stand next to Michael.
Are you crazy?
That would be my only advice. Stand next to Michael.
I hope she broke up with him immediately. But it's crazy because, like, they did it, like, immediately after the AMA Awards. And so it was like a long day for a lot of the artists there. So there's a lot of back behind the scenes stories on it. So check it out if you need something to watch, along with the Marvels, as Rozzy pointed out. Also,
which one should they watch first, Buff?
I haven't even seen the Marvels, and I'm going to say Biggest Night in Pop.
I haven't seen Biggest Night in Pop, but I will say Biggest Night in Pop.
That too is correct.
But I did see a meme on that, and they were like, okay, at what point are we going to go ahead and say that We Are the World isn't a good song?
It did what it was supposed to do.
But it's not a good song. Like,
I mean, it's not something you're gonna ride to your sounds. Car.
Right, exactly. We are the world.
I would say it has lasting power, though. I mean,
hey, that was Michael my jam, was on bro. It. What are you saying?
Because Michael was on it.
Right.
And Cindy Lauper's part was horrible, by the way.
there's a clip of, like, it shows Michael staring at her when she's sinking down.
She came right after him or something.
Yeah, it's her and I forgot who the other
Sting
singer was.
Or somebody. Like, it was just like random. It's like, yeah, I don't know how you guys produce this.
Once again, Stevie ain't blind. Because guess who showed Ray Charles where the bathroom was? Stevie. Stevie ain't blind, man. He been fooling us for decades.
We can play around about a lot of stuff. Stevie's where I draw the line.
He's not blind. That's all I'm saying. The Peanuts Gang, they're doing an origin story for Franklin. Franklin is getting his own movie on Apple TV. I believe this month. So, and I think I don't know if they address the whole him sitting by himself at Thanksgiving in the past Thanksgiving Charlie Brown show. But they said he gets a better chair and a better spot at the table this time. So...
I need my now that's gonna be a meme. I guarantee that's gonna be a whole movement. I need my Franklin to not only sit at the head of the table, I need him not to invite Lucy to the cookout. I need Franklin to come from a two-parent household.
Hey,
like, mom's a lawyer, dad is like an attorney general or some shit.
He needs to be like Susie on the Rugrats, like a powerful group. Yeah.
Apparently, there's a James Brown reference in the movie too. So it's like black.
Well, I'm with it. I just need Franklin to be that dude.
And last but not least, I gave y'all two shows to check out. Locally up here I live near DC. In DC, they are getting ready to pass their version of a crime bill, and I only mention that because the federal crime bill from the 90s gets so much criticism and everybody has this revisionist history on it. And here's DC again. People are fed up with the crime. They had the most murders they've ever had last year since 1997. So people are getting fed up with the crime and they are they're kind of like reinstating some old laws and putting them back on the books and giving police certain powers, like drug-free zones and things like that. So I just want to say, you know, I don't mind them trying to address the crime, but I don't want to hear 10, 20 years from now how they made this big mistake, because everybody is on board right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody is on board and saying how they want to say it. So,
well, Buff, when they play this tape 20 years from now and they quote you, and you know,
yeah, this is what they about, wanted.
Yeah, and that you support it, and you lose your election because of that.
Just in case, let me be clear. I don't necessarily support the crime bill. I don't live there, so I don't know what those people are going through.
Just reminding you that you like complaining.
I think everybody has a right to feel safe. And apparently the citizens of D.C. don't feel safe, and they wanted something done, and the mayor and the city council responded. So I can tell you something I don't agree. They pretty much bring it back, stop and frisk. One of the things that they're adding is if you're wearing a ski mask or a hoodie, police can just stop you and question you. Now, ski masks kind of get a hoodie.
You have a hoodie now.
Haven't we seen that go wrong before?
Right.
You have on a hoodie now.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I can be questioned.
Right.
And that's just one of the things I don't like. So, yeah. But that's all I got, man. That's all I got.
Well, that's awesome. Well, my shows, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Good series. I think it was 8 episodes. Pretty good.
Did you guys watch? I have tried to watch it 4 different times and, like, just drifted away. Like, I can't get through episodes. I don't know if I just didn't have the attention right then. It was something. It wasn't doing it for me.
What's it on?
Amazon Prime. Yeah, Prime Video.
Okay, I've heard good stuff about it.
It's good. It's pretty good. I like Childish Gambino.
Yeah, so, I do too.
You know, so I robbed with it, and I liked a lot of his fashion choices. So.
Yeah, I like him as a character. It's the storyline for me. I'm only on the second episode, and does it get better or speeds up a little bit? Because it was just a little slow.
It's not necessarily an action film or action series. It's action rom-com type stuff. So
yeah,
you know,
okay. That makes more sense because. The rom-com was kind of just losing me. I just wasn't in the mood for that. And so maybe that's what it was. But yeah, it didn't keep my attention.
Yeah, it gets better. I guess it's better than Marvel's. And it wasn't that the Marvel's was bad. Yeah. So Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I'm excited that February 22nd, Avatar The Last Airbender is coming out on Netflix, live action. I'm with it 100%. Can't wait. Too bad it's not officially an anime. Because it definitely would be one of the best anime out there.
The live action. Yeah, it'll probably surpass.
Avatar is not considered an anime.
Right.
It's manga, but not anime, right?
No, it's not a manga at all. It's because it's US based.
A manga has to be Japanese based as well.
Yep.
Yeah, that sucks. But manga inspired, anime inspired, damn good show. I don't know if you ever watched it, Buff, any of The Last Airbender. Pretty cool. Outside of that, let's go ahead and jump into it.
Ooh. Hold on, let me go get Sophie. She is ready.
Got her hair wrapped up for the night.
All right, back to the important things.
Sophia.
Hello.
Greetings.
Salutations.
And welcome to this episode of Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast.
Gotta repeat the title, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's on you, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast.
Yes.
Remember, I'm ready for my joke.
Guys gotta watch the whole thing. So.
Ready for my
joke. Right. Why did the Easter Bunny have a bad day? Because he had a bad hair day.
Yeah, you could have gave me all the time. I would definitely have got it.
Nope.
Wouldn't have got it.
Nope. That's because they're off.
I'm excited to see you for Mardi Gras.
I'm excited to see you guys, too. I'm so excited.
You ready to hit
the boom boom?
You ready to hit the boom boom?
Yeah.
Yeah, she put a context.
She was excited because I told her that Mardi Gras is more important than school because she gets to miss 2 days. So, and in Mobile, it is. That's why they shut down school. Yeah, Mardi Gras is more important than school.
And luckily, he grew up in Mobile, so I get to leave school too.
Yeah. None of our kids grew up in Mobile. That's crazy.
So. Yeah. But at least, all right, you know, Sophia, they understand the culture.
Since you're not going to school.
Lately.
Yes. My kids won't survive, though.
Well, I'll be back next week. It's the best part of the whole podcast.
You think Jasmine is surviving Mobile, Buff?
Nah. I mean, she would survive. She wouldn't like it. Wouldn't like it. She doesn't even want to. She's not excited about this trip. And I get it.
Oh, man.
Because we, you know, it's such a change up for her. But.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah.
What's the difference? There, like, what's the difference of like where you live now versus Mobile? Like, why wouldn't the kids like it? Maybe that could be the question. Now I will ask that question. I'll go first.
I don't want to answer that question. I don't want to answer that.
Why
question.
You want to Mobile?
I don't want to answer that question.
Oh,
all right, wow. fine. All right.
I was gonna say I think you should ask the question now.
I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah, let's go for it. So, why wouldn't you want to raise your kids in Mobile? Or why do you think your kids wouldn't enjoy living in Mobile?
So that's almost like a trick question, but for one, so if they were born and raised there, then I don't think this question applies because that would be all they knew. So it wouldn't be so much of, hey, I don't like it here compared to there. But on the flip side, to answer your question, why do we think they wouldn't like it? I mean, hell, a lot of people that grew up in Mobile don't like Mobile and wish they were somewhere else. I mean, we defend Mobile as we should when other people try to down talk it. But I think we have fair criticisms of it at times. Mobile can be a fun place. I enjoy growing up there. I met great people there. I met you two guys there. Met my wife there. But I actually had no intentions of leaving. You know, it just so happened that I wound up where I am. But that was not like in the plan. But I think a lot of people down there feel like in order to reach whatever full potential that they're seeking, they need to leave Mobile in order to reach it. And so to answer your question, I think to be fair, and I think people who diehard love Mobile would somewhat agree with this, Mobile has a certain cap. It has a certain cap level. Can you be successful in Mobile? I think most people will answer, yeah, by Mobile standards. So you can be successful there, but it seems like it has a cap in it. And that's why a lot of people that we know will go off to Atlanta, Texas, and elsewhere. So my daughter, she loves big cities. And I don't know if that's just from the shows she watches or whatever like that, but she's a big city person. We try to schedule, cause you know, I go into the city every day. But her and Tabitha rarely do. So we actually try to like schedule at least once a month to go into the city because of how much she likes it. Her favorite city to visit is New York. She just likes tall, busy, tall buildings and busy cities and things like that. So
she's an East Coast girl.
Yeah. So her knowing the difference, that's why she doesn't like it. Of course, if she was born and raised there, she probably would grow to like big cities. And that would be the reason why she doesn't like Mobile, because that was one of her first criticisms. She was like, it's so small. There's no tall buildings there. It's just, to wrap it up though, man, it's limited things to do there. And that's not a diss, it just is. Like, when people look at bringing certain things to an area, They look at the income. They look at the population. Mobile doesn't meet a lot of those criteria. Like, a big thing for them, they just got a Topgolf there. And I'm not, that's not shade. I'm happy that they got that. But, like, you know, Topgolfs have been everywhere for, like, years now. So it just has a certain cap level. And depending on how far you want to grow and how far you want to go, it may not be the city for you. But if you want to grow up in an area where people, you know, generally know one another, people are generally nice, perfect place, man.
Ooh.
Mine is very similar to yours, especially on why I wouldn't want to raise my kids there. I don't think, and I'm going to change it from not just that there's a cap, there's limited opportunity. So you can be just as, let's say you can be just as successful in Mobile as you can in Houston. Houston's almost a large, call it the largest big city you can get. Largest small city, because Houston's almost like, it's not a New York. Mm-hmm. It's not a DC. Houston is huge. It's, I think, the sixth largest or fourth or sixth largest city in the country. But people stay in burbs. Like Byron says, you don't stay in DC, you know? But what I mean by that is there's so much opportunity for upward mobility, you know, in a smaller cities or something like Mobile. If there's, let's say there's 1,000 high paying jobs, you got 50,000 people competing for those same jobs, those same opportunities, those same neighborhoods, those same things. In a city like Houston, not only are there countless times more jobs, people are creating more opportunities just because of the infrastructure. Houston and Texas alone has its own, I think maybe that was you and I talking about that a few months ago, Razzie, like the economy is different here. Like a lot of stuff that goes on in the U.S., Texas is not affected by it. You know, with oil and gas, the medical field, it's so many strong businesses around here. I'm not saying it's untouchable, but which leads to things that you were saying earlier, Byron, that it brings opportunity, not just business wise, but people with the money and do all these things, they want to be entertained. So things come here. You know, I don't know how many Top Golfs we have. I don't know how many main events we have. We have four. I think we have at least four Top Golfs.
Yeah.
Right. Main events, malls. We have, it's just simple things. Just something as simple as a mall. You know,
well, has it one now? I guess two if you count Springdale, but yeah. So, but yeah, I think we're looking at it from a lens of like as an adult, right? But that's very different. Like that upper mobility doesn't matter. Say we got one of those good jobs and we're there as the parent. We have one of those good jobs in Mobile. Is there still an issue with our kid being raised there? Because they're probably going to go off to college, right? They have the opportunity to move and get the better job later on. Raising the kids in Mobile, like why don't you think the kids would enjoy that, or would they? Do you think the kids would enjoy that?
What would they do?
I mean, we talk about Mardi Gras and like as a kid, the skating rink, right? Mardi Gras. Like they have most of the things that you do as a kid in Mobile that you do anywhere else. Right, it might be only one instead of you don't have choices, but they have a skating rink, they have a bowling alley, they have, you know, laser tag and arcades and stuff like that. I mean, it's as a kid, you don't need a million things, right? You're not going to the Drake concert, right? Like as a 14-year-old, 13-year-old. So it's like one of those things that we're talking about. From an adult perspective, I don't think they really matter as much to the kids, or do they?
Well, I think for kids generally are going to have a good childhood no matter where they're born. So if your question is, why wouldn't they like growing up there? They probably would, because that would be pretty much all they know. And if we have one of those good jobs, like you say, we would be able to afford to take them on certain trips and things like, so they probably wouldn't miss out on a lot. I wouldn't want to raise my child there because Mobile, compared to where I live, seems rather violent.
Violence, the school system, opportunity. I'm still amazed by some of the things I see. Just money wise, bro. Like, you can't compete with it. I went to a robotics tournament. One of our lamplighters had I think we talked about this last year. And the parent invited me out to a robotics tournament. I'm thinking it's going to be something small thing the school had. It looked like one of those, the TV show with the robots fighting. They had these 300-pound robots. Like, there's money, there's companies like Shell and all these stuff, people invested into all these organizations. A prime example is probably like maybe a little less than a year ago, there was a post where someone was saying they need more activities for youth to do in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing going on. And I brought up programs like the Lamplighters, Kappa League, and stuff like that, because that's, I was saying, hey, there are things to do, because I'm not a Mobile. There are things to do. And it's like, well, there's not enough for everybody. And then, you know, there's a waiting list and yada, yada, yada. And it's because it's everybody's trying to fight for the same few spots. Everybody's going to the skating rink. Everybody's going to the movies. Everybody's going to the same mall. And when I say these kids have so many opportunities now, bro, like the things I'm amazed about some of these opportunities these kids have. Yeah, and the access to things they have. I want my kids to have access to the very best. The same reason people move away to certain areas so they can be in great school districts and get their kids exposed to certain things and certain type of people. And as much as I love coming home, I come home for, you know, we talked about Mardi Gras. I was my kids. I used to come home for Mardi Gras for the holidays. I grew up in the suburbs of Dallas, right? And I loved Mobile for Mardi Gras. Then when I moved to Mobile and got to see Mobile for what it was, outside of having a ton of family there, it was a culture shock to me. There was no Six Flags over Mobile, right? There was nothing really that was super exciting to do outside of the, you know, the few things that all the teenagers did. You know, that's why Teen Jams jumped, because everybody in Mobile was looking for that one thing they could do.
Mm-hmm.
The dollar movie jumped because that's the only thing you could do in eighth grade, ninth grade on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day we were there. The skating rink jumped because that was the only option. I mentor these kids, and half the time we never get 100% participation because there's so many things for these kids to do, so many different opportunities for them to participate in. You're talking about there's famous black dance troupes that come in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's other just random pop-up events. You know, those are things that your kids and people can be exposed to. And my kids are just spoiled. They're not used to some of the culture. You know, like watch your kids come Mardi Gras when they start throwing beads and stuff like that. Your kids step back. They can't compete with their cousins. It's a certain just grittiness that you get from growing up in there, which is great. Sometimes I'm like, I wish my kids were a little grittier.
Agree.
You know, I wish my kids were a little grittier. Like getting on the ground, like scrape your knuckles on, maybe, trying to reach under the.
That should have been like a 5-year time frame that Jasmine grew up in Mobile, to be honest.
Send them home for the summer, you know. Because as somebody who it was a culture shock. I can speak to it. It was a culture shock coming from Dallas to Mobile. Education-wise, diversity-wise, I think I had it better than most. I was well protected because I was a Ferguson. I had a huge family. When I first got there, I went to Booker T for about a month. I never knew school could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't remember kids fighting in school in elementary school, because I went from fifth to sixth. I don't remember teachers not supporting students. Like, my homeroom teacher told me, anybody in my Booker T listeners, Miss Gigi Johnson told me I was going to be right. I was going to go to Phillips and I'll be right back because Ferguson's don't make it at Phillips. That's what my teacher told me when I got accepted to Phillips.
Wow.
I wasn't used to people not being excited about education, like being okay being the dumb kid. Luckily, when I got to Phillips, it was a step in the right direction. It was less of a culture shock, and it was, I got to kind of adjust to it. Byron said, like, my sixth grade, I probably was hanging out with the white kids and the black kids. I'm probably 70% white kids, 30% black kids. Like, and then by the time I got to eighth grade, I was, you know, more well-versed. High school, LaFleur, luckily we were in a magnet program, and it was still kind of, you know, we had the magnet kids who kind of still had a different walk and vibe about them, you know. But I had been in Tobinville for so long, I knew, you know, my kids, you take them out of their school and put them at BCC tomorrow? No. My kids ain't ready for that.
Right.
They ain't ready for that.
So Raza, you sound like you are pro raising your kids in Mobile.
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, you're just being devil's advocate. Okay.
I was just being devil's advocate. No, I completely agree with you on that. But, you know, being here in Birmingham, I can say it's the same thing. That's why I moved to Hoover, right? Like, if I was raising my kids in Birmingham, it would be almost the exact same as me raising my kids in Mobile, right? Like, I had the means to be able to move out of that so that I wouldn't have to deal with that school system, with that environment, right? And I think, to you guys' points, I think that's why our kids wouldn't enjoy being in Mobile. If I raised my kids in Birmingham City, I think they would really enjoy going out. They wouldn't care about going to Mobile because it's generally the same when you think about the environment, the kids, the school systems, the things, right? So I don't think it's the lack of things to do and all that stuff. I mean, because you can feel your kid's plate in Mobile just as much as you can feel your kid's plate here in Birmingham or in Houston. There are more things you could look into, but there's enough there that you could feel your kid's plate. Because we've got family there, right? Like, I know Zay and Lil Daniel, my nephews are in things, right? They're jumping from thing to thing. Cam's in two or three different things. There's stuff for the kids to do down there. But I really think it's because we've done that shift, right? And we moved our kids into those areas where they don't have that grittiness you talk about, that I don't think they would enjoy going down to Mobile and have to deal with that grittiness, right? I think that's really where I don't think our kids would enjoy it or like going down there. And for that point, I don't think I would want to move back and expose the kids to it, because if not, I have to do where, like, my parents, you know, my mom moved out to Sims. That's where Gina and them live, out in Sims. They don't live in Mobile or Pritchard or whatever, so they've kind of done that exact same thing in Mobile, where they've moved out of those areas into what we consider the nicer areas or the, you know, the better education systems, those types of things. So it's opportunity to do that, but I don't want to do that down in Mobile. I mean, if I'm going to do it, I'll do it here, where I do have access to all those other things. And I can adult a little bit better here. It's more fun to adult in Birmingham or in Houston or, you know, in DC. So I agree with you guys. I don't think going to Mobile would be the answer. And listeners, we're not shitting on Mobile by any means. I don't think any three of us are saying, oh, Mobile's not the spot to be. But you just have to keep and expand, like, other cities offer other things for you, especially if you're talking about going to a larger city. And so that's, I think, what it is we all live in larger cities, and we wouldn't go back to Mobile because of that. Like, we've gotten used to that larger city, the opportunities that they give us. But by no means do I think Mobile is like a horrible city. I definitely think you can raise your kids in Mobile, and all three of us are products of Mobile and being able to get out and do well. So I think it's there, and Mobile has the opportunity to be able to excel.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, somebody that came, and like, as much as I love my Mobile tenure, I knew I had to leave. I always knew. I never thought I'd end up in Houston. I thought I was going to end up back in Dallas. But as long as you know me, I've always said I had fun. You know, there is fun. You as a child, you there's kids in Dallas, Mobile, Houston, D.C., New York. They can't find anything to do. There's nothing to do. You know, just because that's who they are. You know,
yeah.
Dude, you're in the largest city in the country, and there's nothing to do. Gotcha. You know, but, you know, we found plenty of stuff to do, you know, from dirt ball fights, you know, to whatever.
But bust them, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you. But I will say, go out and explore. It's not a knock on Mobile. Like, I can't wait to get home. I'm excited. There's family there. I love seeing my family. I miss that. What I miss most about Mobile is the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about our kids, I could see the difference in me and my kids. It's I could see my kids being raised in Houston, going off to college and coming back to Houston and having those roots there. Riza, you have deep, your family's there. You even went to college in Birmingham and stayed in Birmingham. So you have deeper roots. Mm-hmm. Like this is a new city for me. I've been here for going on 15 years, but the roots, my initial roots aren't like they were. You know, when people are talking about high school and stuff like that, got nothing. College. Oh, yeah, I remember when PV, they're sharing their college stories, got nothing. You know, I was 28 when I moved here.
Right.
You know, I have homeboys that ain't 28 yet. So let alone, you know, talk about the roots. So I do miss that. And just going to Mobile and like, oh yeah, you related to da da da. I know your uncle and your grandmama. Oh, we went to school together. Like I miss that.
Yeah.
You know, my kids won't get that here because they have to go back to Mobile to get those roots. So they'll have their Houston roots unless they choose to move someplace else, and that's whatever. But my roots are still in Mobile, good, bad, or indifferent. So
yeah.
Buff, what you got?
So I have taken to enjoying reading a physical newspaper, and my job provides that. And the Washington Post had an interesting story that I wanted to bring to the show. So they wrote about how DC had this pilot program where they gave 153 single moms, they had to be in certain wards in the city, ward 5, 6, and 7. They had to be in one of those wards. And they gave these 153 women $10,800. Now, there are like 100 other cities in the country that has a similar program to this. What made DC's different, it was also with the help of this group called Martha's Table. But what made DC's different is they allowed the women to choose between taking a lump sum or a monthly stipend. And the monthly stipend is $900 a month. The lump sum is $10,800. No strings attached. And so it profiled three women in depth on what their situation was like, what they did with the money, and how it potentially changed their life and what's the outlook on their lives. So I just wanted to give you guys the rundown of these three women. And I wanted you to just tell me what you loved that they did with the money, what you didn't love. And you don't have to, like, if you feel like they did everything perfect with the money, you don't have to have a didn't love category. Same as if you felt like you didn't love anything they did with the money, you don't have to have that category. So those two. And then just generally, because, you know, Rizzy mentioned on last episode how usually the first of the year we give not financial advice, but just suggestions on what to do with that income tax. So just a general, what you would suggest people do if they get a free $10,800. So the first woman is Kanithia, okay? 27 years old. She has three kids. So she was already getting the different type of benefits, welfare, TANF, WIC, all that type of stuff. She got the money. She chose the lump sum, by the way, $10,800. And what she chose to do, the first thing she did was she took a 5-day trip to Miami, spent $6,000 on that for her, the three kids, and the baby daddy. And the additional expenses went to, she wanted all the kids to have new outfits for each day. They had never tried sushi, so they went to Benihana. They went to the zoo down there. No, I'm sorry, a dinosaur museum down there. She splurged on some hair and nails for herself. And then the rest of the money she spent on some bills and a used car. And her overall goal is to try to have at least $50 in her savings account going forward. And the last they checked on her, she was in a program for IT and was hoping that she would get a job that pays about $30 an hour once she completes this program for IT. So that's Kanithia. All right. Second woman, Erica. Okay. She's 34, mother of two. At one point, she had to move back in with her mom. She fell behind bills because during her second pregnancy, it was a high-risk pregnancy. She had to stop working for a while, got behind on her car note and stuff. And then when she did go back, she could only work part-time. So the only thing, she didn't really splurge with her money. Her rule was she opened up a savings account in her oldest child name. And when she would get paid, she would put pretty much all of her check in that account and just take the money out for bills and things. And she said that helped keep her discipline to not just do stupid stuff with it, because by the account being in her daughter's name, it just always reminded her that, hey, this is for her. You need to save for her and things like that. The only thing she splurged on was her newborn child. She threw him a 1-year birthday party, spent $525 on the venue, and then bought a cake and goodie bags for the kids. And she chose the monthly stipend, by the way. She chose the $900 a month. And the third and final woman, Stacy, mother of four, didn't give an age. She actually, to me, was in the best position. She has a master's degree. She had a government job with the city making $50,000 a month. Not a month, a year, $50,000 a month, $50,000 a year. But she had to take off time when she got pregnant with a third kid. And while she was off, she failed her exam for social work and wound up losing her job because she failed the exam. So that money came in time. She chose the lump sum, by the way. And she pretty much just used that money to like pay 2 months worth of rent, catch up on her car note, and had about $5,000 left in her savings account by the time she found a new job that paid $70,000 a month. I mean, I keep saying a month, a year. And she really, the program Martha's Table, they give these women all these different type of resources in order to find, to help themselves. She used it to, she found a housing program that helped her find a house. She also found some program that matches what you have in your savings account. I guess if you had a certain income level. So she wound up making like an extra $7,000 almost, according to the article. So the only thing she splurged on was, like I said, the bills, catching up on her car note and things like that. And she is now going to retake the social work exam and try to get a promotion at the $70,000 a year job. And she wound up having a fourth kid during the whole month, the whole lump sum. So those are the three women, Kanithia, Erica, Stacy. And they each got the $10,800. Two of them chose the lump sum. One of them chose the monthly stipend. And I can remind you guys of the bullet points of each woman, but from what you remember, what did you love about them spending the money? What did you hate, if you hated anything about it? And what would be your general advice for anyone that's in a similar situation that may luck up and be awarded one of these type of programs?
You want to go first, Ferg?
I'll go first, Okay. Because I know you probably give the bigger financial analyst thing. I'll go in order. It's Kenethia. Kenethia, I'm trying to do better and find good in everybody. What I liked about Kenethia is she enjoyed herself. Sometimes, you know, you realize that I can stress on what to do with this $10,000. And I mean, I'm not saying it can't change your life, because it definitely helps some people. But if you don't know what to do and you can't change your life, it's like, you know what? Let me at least enjoy myself and give myself, my kids, and my baby daddy a once in a lifetime opportunity.
That's exactly kids, what she said. That was exactly her kids, what I think.
And her baby daddy will remember this for the rest of their life. What I didn't like about it, it seemed like she had no plan. It just seemed like she got the money and she just acted out of pure emotion. And if something happened, because it made it seem like you planned all this could have happened in 2 weeks. Day 15, what if your car broke down and you needed $500 to fix? Get a new alternator. You ain't got it. She had $50 left. She set a goal of $50 to having that. So it just, you have no plan. You didn't take, it didn't seem like you took time to make a plan, but you did enjoy yourself. Erica, I thought Erica was going to be the winner. You know, Erica was the one that
she took it monthly.
She took it monthly. She put it in her daughter's name, mm-hmm. right?
Her only splurge was the birthday party, which was probably about $600 total.
She did. She was very just kind of down the middle, and she just put the rest in her savings, right?
Yeah.
In her daughter's name, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think she played it safe, right? She just played it safe. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to do this. And I think her why. I love people with a good why. You know, I think the easiest way to accomplish a goal is to have a strong why that reminds you. So anytime she thought about doing something stupid, she had to go to
that daughter account. See that name.
You're taking money from your daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can respect that. I wish she would have seeked a little more guidance. Mm-hmm. I feel like instead of putting that in a bank account, there's more things she probably could have did with that money.
To make it work for
her. Yeah, make it work for her. You know, seek it. It was one of those things where you know, it was one step away from having it under the mattress, right? It's just, if you don't know better, you just do. What's the last young lady's name?
Stacy.
Stacy, like you said, she had the most going for her. So she... What does she splurge on? Bills? We call that splurging?
It's not even really splurging. She paid 2 months of rent, caught up on her car note, and had five G's left.
And had her savings.
And found another job.
What I liked about her, I think she did everything right. Savings probably is where I wouldn't have put it. But at the same time, the best thing she did, when you talked about leveraging the resources.
Yeah.
I think that's what made her stand
she
out.
She did, yeah.
You know, finding other programs, helping go back and retake her test and all this stuff. Who's getting the job in IT?
Kenethia, the first one.
Yeah, Kenethia. Did she find that job through?
Yeah, she found that through Martha's Table. So it's like a free program that she's taking and once she passes or completes it, she hopes to get a job and hopefully they'll help her get a job.
And did Erica do anything? Leverage resources anyway?
No.
And that might be, I take that back.
She battled postpartum depression and they had these mommy time, like Zoom podcasts. So while she was delivering mail, she would listen to the advice they were giving and she said that helped her a little bit with her depression.
That's good for her. Good for her. I think sometimes we just see the money and we don't see the resources.
Mm-hmm.
The most valuable the most valuable part of this program is the resources.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of this Keith Lee
TikTok
situation where he was in Dallas. He left a $4,000 tip for the restaurant owner and her two quote unquote workers, the chick and her brother. Mm-hmm. And the restaurant owner kept all the money.
Yeah.
You know, you saw that one?
Yep.
And all she saw was the money. All she saw was the $4,000, not the blessings of getting a good review by Keith Lee, getting another young lady who was a huge influencer to support her business and stuff like that. You lost $2,000. Well, you didn't lose $2,000. You took $2,000 and let that $2,000. Actually, I forgot. He paid almost another $1,000 in extra food for the people to come enjoy her food so they can taste it and help build her business. And she only fed three other people and then kept the rest of the money. So essentially, I think she took $2,800 that wasn't for her and pocketed all that. And at the end of the day, they said her business went under. People were slandering her on the internet and all this stuff. Old girl went off on social media, all over $3,000, right? All she saw was the money and not the potential success from the network and stuff like that. I say all that to say the resources of this program seemed like it was the goal. I mean, it's the gold mine. And at the end of the day, I would have probably did more research about the program. What is their ultimate goal? Because at $10,000, 10, 5, 15, 20, it's not the dollars, it's the program. So that's my biggest thing. Anybody who leveraged resources and came out better from it, then that's it.
Yeah.
Rizzy, tell me where I was wrong.
No, I mean, I'm pretty aligned with you. I think going down the list, Kanithia, I mean, y'all got it right. The silver lining is she gave the experience, right? Like that, there's something to be said about giving the experience to your kids. $10,000 isn't this life changing amount. Again, we talk about like most of these for women probably it could be, but you got to think about $10,000. A lot of times they get that during their tax returns. Like they get $7,000-$8,000 during tax season. I mean, so when they get their tax returns, they're getting about that much. So it's not like they're not used to getting those lump sums like that and what they do. And truthfully, what Kanithia did is exactly what most people do with their tax return, right? Like she went and she said, let's go, let's blow it. And we'll figure out, we'll keep living how we're living next month. And so what's up, Bert?
That's it. Until the next time.
Until the next time. Yeah. And so I think she, that's the part I don't like, right? That's the negative thing, is that she didn't take that and leverage it, kind of what we talk about every year, right? Hey, how do you do that? Do you fix your credit? Do you, you know, pay your bills up? Kind of taking what Stacy did, right? Like, hey, I caught my car up. That means she was behind on her car note, right? So kind of jumping to her. Like, those are the things that she did, right? I know you talked about $5,000 you might not put in your savings, but if she had no emergency funds, that $5,000 might be where it needed to go, right? It's like, hey, I'm putting this $5,000 in my emergency fund because if my car breaks down or whatever and I need $1,300, $1,500, I got it, right? So I think she did what she needed to do to get stable, but I don't think that put her in a good position to be able to move forward, right? What may have helped her is, hey, I'm going to go and pay for a tutoring class for this test that I failed or something. Like, so, you know, thinking through how do you use the money to get forward instead of just getting caught up. She did it a little bit with the 2 months of rent, right? So now she has some breathing room in her rent or her mortgage or whatever. But I think she needs to kind of take that and look for those things to make sure that she can leverage and find the new job or whatever. But she found a new job using those resources. So I think Stacy definitely was like the better of the three. And then looking at Erica, I think she did. She took the safe bet. She said, give it to me monthly. They talk about that all the time when you win the lottery, right? Never take the lump sum. Always get the monthly income, because if you get the monthly income, you won't blow it. And so she took that. The issue that I have is, again, going back to like with Stacy, she didn't really use that money to propel her forward. I know, you know, she did her child's birthday party or whatever, but really she just used that as additional income for the next year and tried to supplement what she was doing. But I didn't hear anything about her trying to leverage it to be able to do better, find something else, get in a program, get in a learning opportunity, go, you know, learn, like you said, IT development, program management, project management, you know, something where she could leverage that and be able to do better in life with that money. So that's really what I would want to see more from them. But, you know, I'm truthfully, I'm not knocking any of them, because again, for those folks that they, you know, Kenethia may be feeling like she's straight where she's at and she's comfortable. And just because she's not making a whole lot of money, she might be happy in that life and what's happening. And so that windfall was just that for her, is it's a windfall. We're going to blow this money, but we're going to keep rolling because we're doing okay. And so sometimes folks don't have that kind of drive to do much better, make more money or whatever. They're good where they are. And so, you know, I don't want to knock her too much for that and give it. At least she used it on her kids. At least she used it to give that experience instead of just blowing it and her baby daddy going and not taking the kids. Right. Because it could have been that.
Mama, watch these kids.
We going to see Usher. You know what I mean? Like, it's very easy. Usher.
But I don't know, because I don't, that's not my home away from home. $8,000 is an expensive Miami trip.
Six thousand.
Well, okay. Six. Well, that was just, but they used
for five of them.
Yeah.
And that they stayed just 5 days.
But then they went to Benny.
Yeah, Benny.
But then they spent money on outfits and all this stuff. That wasn't in the six. Five or whatever.
Oh, right. That was the
like, remember when she came back in Benihana?
Yeah,
they came back with $50.
Yeah, right. Well, wait. So she bought a used car and she said, okay, she paid some bills.
Did she pay cash for it? Or did she put a down payment on it?
Because if she spent six, she only had $4,800 left.
So she put a down payment people. On the car.
And Benihana for two.
Tax return, baby. 2 months from now. Guess what happens 2 months after tax returns happen? The repo man cometh.
I love a follow-up, because this is the month. It said February she's supposed to finish the IT program. What I didn't like about Kenethia, I understand wanting to take your kids to something they haven't experienced. And she said it. She was like, she's always telling them to make good grades, this, that, and other. And she was able, they did a boat tour where you see all the mansions in Miami. So she was able to show them that. But I had a couple of issues with her, and I'm sorry if listeners come for me and say I'm bashing or whatever the case. But first and foremost, they carefully stated all the income she was getting as far as like WIC, welfare, this, that, and other. They made no mention of child support. So I am left to assume that baby daddy is not consistently paying child support. And if that is true, baby daddy need to stay his grown home.
Right.
On top of that, she had like a less than a 2-year-old, like a 18-month-old. He probably, baby daddy could have stayed home with that baby too, because that baby ain't going to remember none of this trip.
Right.
And I also don't think she necessarily needed to buy new outfits for every day of the trip. You want to buy the kids a couple of new outfits? Cool. I get it. They don't need one for every day of the trip. That's just personal opinion. Don't mind her splurging on herself. That was cool. So that was my only issue on her with that. But the other women, I think, you know, we just kind of like saying what we would have did better. But overall, I don't think they did anything severely bad. I'll just say this. They mentioned pretty much everybody second-guessed themselves on what they chose. So the people who chose the monthly stipend kind of wished they chose the lump sum. And the people that chose the lump sum kind of wish they chose the monthly stipend. Because even Kanithia said, maybe I would have saved better if I did the monthly stipend versus the lump sum. And they all said that they wish, well, except for Kanithia, because she splurged on herself. But like Erica and Stacy, they both said they wish they had spent it on some type of self-care for themselves. Like, they didn't do anything for themselves. And that was one of the regrets of the other 132 women as well. What you got first?
Quick question. Do you see yourself in any one of those people? If you would have spent, and not how they did it, I think it's like the gold, like, you know, this bed is too soft, this bed is like, I think it was a healthy mix of, who do you most relate with?
I feel like I see myself, a part of myself in all three. Because I hate to say poor, never went without a meal, but I've been, for lack of a better term, I had low financial resources. And so getting 10 grand like that, I can see myself saying, man, first thing I'm gonna do is go enjoy myself, do something I never done before. I also have this carefulness that Erica showed with trying to put as much as she can in the savings each month like that. I do that now, trying to put money aside as best I can. And then with Stacy, I believe in using resources that are available to you. And I love, like Ferg said, how she used the resources to kind of like, she pretty much doubled her money in a sense. Like once she got down to that 5K in her savings and then found that program that matches what you have in your savings.
Yeah, I mean, she walked out the winner. I mean, yeah, she got a better paying job.
Yep.
She came in with, she made more money. She made her money. Her money made money for her.
The only thing I would say about her is, this may be controversial, and you know what? If she wants to have a lot of kids, then more power to her. Then yeah, forget what I'm saying. May want to consider birth control if otherwise.
I was thinking that. Yeah,
her body.
It is
her choice. It's her choice.
But DC is expensive, and 70K is a decent amount of money, but it don't go that far when you got 4 miles to feed in that city. So I would just say, just consider that. And then you're talking about buying a house, which I'm sure she found a program where she didn't have to put 10% or 20% down, probably hardly nothing down. But as all three of us know, houses come with unexpected costs and fixing up and things like that. So that's it. I just don't want her to stretch herself thin, because I do think she is a success story in this scenario. And, you know, kids drains your resources. That's all. But like I said, if she wants to have a lot of kids, then forget what I said.
Last but not least, Razi, you mentioned the lump sum. I mean, taking the installments. I always hear the other way around.
So they recommended that the women do the lump sum, especially for the ones that are getting, all of them are getting assisted. But that monthly stipend could raise a red flag with the benefits that they were receiving. And that could possibly affect their benefits and make them receive lower payments and things like that. So 75% of the women took the lump sum.
I'm talking about the lotto, because I heard the lotto. I heard the lotto is you will, and maybe it's not true, but if you do the lotto, I forgot how many months or years that it pays out, but it's like if you die halfway in, that money stops right then.
Yeah, it's based off actuary tables, and they think you will die before you get it all. Yes, I'm not saying I would take the lump sum. What I'm saying is, if you're not good with money, if you are like, you know, you feel like there a lot of people win the lottery, they take that lump sum and they're broken for years. Right. Like if you're that guy, if you're one of those folks, then you need to take it. You need to take the monthly.
Like when I heard you say that, I'm like, that is new to me, because I hear you take that lump sum, you get that 50 million. I don't even know how much a lotto is now. These crazy, crazy amounts. 476 million cash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that rather than 2 million a month for the next 10 years. I'm like, no, just give me that 476 and I'm about to do some crazy shit. I don't even know what it is. I don't have to get nowhere near that money.
If you take, but most of those lotteries aren't 476, right? Like those Mega Millions and those types of things. Most people are getting 25 million, 13 million. And then when you take taxes out of that, that drops it down to 7-6 million. They go spend $1 million or $2 million on a house. You know, they giving it friends and stuff. Like, and what ends up happening is after about 2 or 3 years, that money really, it's gone. And I don't know how you blow through $2-3 million in a year or two, but folks do it. And then have upkeep and maintenance on a $1 million, $2 million house. You got taxes on a $2 million house that you got to pay. And they can't do it. And so that's what I mean by like, look, take the payments, right? Now you know you got that much money and you can live off that for the rest of your life. And it's, you know, you can save from it, you can do whatever, but it's much easier for folks that aren't good with money or that's just never had any money. Like I'll probably put it like this. If you don't have any money in your savings account right now, take the monthly thing. If you got savings, if you're comfortable right now, you can take the lump sum. It's okay. Like that, I would put it like that, because that means that you don't have that muscle built to be able to save and be able to manage your money well. So.
Yeah. And for anyone asking what was the point of this, they wanted to see how this money would affect, how no strings attached money would possibly change their lives. And the immediate results, the majority of the women have expressed that they have reduced anxiety, improve physical health, but as far as long term, the program is too new to say if it has any positive long term. But it's a program that they want to keep going, and we'll see what happens. And I'm for it because rich people get welfare handouts all the time. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. What was it, Bernie Sanders, that was trying to get a guaranteed universal income or whatever they were trying to say, like everybody gets at least $1,000 or $2,000 a month no matter what, and then you can go to work for more or whatever. So
like that Joker meme though, nobody bats an eye when millionaires and billionaires get handouts, but as soon as you talk about giving handouts to poor people, everybody loses their mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. I mean, great show, fellas. I enjoyed it. Let's go ahead and pardon shots.
Cool, man. Only thing I got, we talked about programs and everything that our kids are involved in. And one that just kind of randomly found out about, it's called GEMS for little girls. It's Girls Engaged in Math and Science. So it's a STEM program for girls here in the city and around the nation, I think. But, our city participates in it. And last weekend, Sophie got to hang out with Miss America. Did not know that Miss America was a nuclear physicist or nuclear engineer or something like that. And so we spent Saturday morning listening to her talk about science and nuclear engineering and how she loves it. And Sophie got to hang out with Miss America for, 10, 15 minutes. So it's just I almost did. I started to. Miss America is Miss America. But no, I really didn't get a chance to interact with them. They were kind of down. We were there for like the opening when she was talking, and then the parents had to leave and the kids got to spend the day in the program. And they had spent a month, one day a week for a whole month building science projects or whatever. And so it was almost like a science fair. So each class at each school around Hoover had done projects, and they had their boards and their science fair boards and everything. You walk around and you look at it and everything. And so they gave us about 10 minutes to walk around as parents, and then we had to leave. And the kids had they had programs throughout the day or whatever, where they talked to like Miss America, they talked to some other scientists about STEM jobs and careers and stuff like that. So it was just a dope little program. But I want to just shout out to that program, because if you have something like that in your area, Sophie almost cried. She was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to spend my Saturday doing this. I don't know why she signed up for it and then thought I was going to let her out the day of. But when she got there and at the end of it, she was like, I loved it. And so shout out to that. Folks, if you have something like that for your little girls or guys, But what we see is there's a lot of programs built around getting girls into STEM. And so please, please, please look for those types of opportunities. Put your girls in them. Spend the day if you have to getting them there. But it's an awesome program, man. So just shout out to them.
Awesome.
What do I got? Happy birthday, Facebook. Facebook turned 20 this month. So happy birthday to the Facebook. That's what it was first called. What else do I got? So Biden, man, we touch on the presidential election coming up here and there each episode. It's just still wild to me how statistically successful this administration has been, and he continues to tumble in the poll. Unemployment is 3.7%. The jobs outdid all the experts, almost double what the experts expected. 353,000 more jobs, I think, were created last month. But he's at his lowest, I think, in the 30s now, as far as approval rating. And that hasn't been done since W. Bush. And he wasn't running for re-election at the time. This was during his second term when he was getting ready to head on out anyway. And people were sick of the Iraq war and everything like that. So it just continues to be amazing to me how the narrative is just really doing him bad. And it just reminds me of how facts don't matter. Not only do facts not matter in this country, but narratives matter a whole lot more. And it's just crazy. So,
well, I don't even think it's a narrative. I think it's just tribalism. I think people are just committed to their tribes. They're committed to this Republican Party.
It's not even I don't think so, because you don't get that low just with the Republicans not liking you. There are Democrats and independents that are down on Biden for some reason. And I agree, Buff. I don't know how that narrative is hitting home when people like really are doing much better on a day-to-day basis.
It's a narrative. You're right. Yeah, I take that back.
Yeah, I mean, we love narrative. I mean,
but he's an easy target.
Yes.
That's what it is. The fact that Trump's open to debating him. Trump didn't want to debate any of the Republican candidates
because he know he can just visually, just looking at the two on stage, and you know, Joe, he has to take his time with things and 45 is much quicker with his responses and stuff like that.
I mean, cocaine will do that for you.
Whether they're right or wrong.
Oh, wow. So,
whether he's right or wrong.
Oh, wow.
He's going to look strong compared to Biden.
Look, speaking of 45, we know he's coming up on being decided whether or not he should be allowed on the ballots. We know Colorado, for instance, cited the 14th Amendment insurrection as a means of keeping him off the ballot. So that gives us an opportunity to talk about former Justice Salmon P. Chase. Salmon P. Chase was the sixth justice of this country, appointed by Abraham Lincoln. And he was the one that wrote the 14th Amendment insurrection. So that's whose opinion that they will be going by when they decide this in the Supreme Court. And I just wonder, when he wrote this, was his friends like, man, what you writing that for? There is nobody who's going to try to overthrow the government that will ever be trusted to hold a government office. You wasting your time. And he was like, man, I know, but I'm going to just go on and put it in here just in case, man. You never know. And here we are. Mm-hmm. Here we are. So shout out to Salmon P. Chase.
That is true. I got to get my name on this thing somehow.
That's all I got, man.
Man, that's crazy.
Oh, before Mark goes, happy birthday, Buff. Tomorrow will be Buff's birthday. When this drops, it would already have passed. But I want to make sure we shout you out. Happy birthday. I don't know if you were going to say something, Ferg, or not. Like, did I steal your thunder?
In fact, if you are listening and it is not 3 o'clock p.m. yet, and you are in Mobile, Alabama, you need to hurry on down to the Boom Boom, because we going to be in that jump.
Yep.
We're on the purple float. We're on the purple float. What's the name of the float? I forgot the name of the float. It's like the party float. I don't know. We'll put it in the write-up description or something like that. But, man, we throwing everything. We got shirts, moon pies, beads. We might even have some ramen noodles. So, y'all look out for your boys, man. Three Brothers No Sense, Contentville, inspire you on there. Look out for us. What's wrong, Ferg?
I stole
my clothes. Oh, this is Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. Six rules of podcasts. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.
Our bad, big dog.
And another thing.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
All right. That's one of the best closes we had right there, bro.